I think my producer told me to introduce us now. Wait, am I supposed to be drinking beer? Joy, are you drinking beer? Am I drinking beer? I'm drinking beer. Are you drinking beer?
Yep.
Shit, welcome to Leo's Corner. Well, we still sipping because we don't want to stand, of course. You know, we've had a long day at work. You know, shit.
Okay.
Wait, we still sipping. We still sitting. And we don't want to stand up. And we just still talking some bullshit.
Yep.
It is bullshit today. It's going to be some straight bullshit today.
Oh.
Who knows? Maybe it's good. Maybe it's bad.
Might be mixed. Might be mixed.
Excellent. Excelente. All right. Actually, for the first time ever, we're actually going to be doing a prog metal album. It's yep. Between the Buried and Me's Colors 2. Joey, let me ask you a question. Did you actually ever listen to Colors 1 or Colors, pretty much?
I don't think so. I mean,
before you start. And as always, I am actually here with my boy Joey. Boy, you gotta be introduced, bro. You should have told me, like, yo, you didn't even introduce me, motherfucker. I'm your producer. I will kick you out. I will edit your ass out of this motherfucker if I have to. You gotta come on, Joey.
I missed that. It was my fault. Cause like we just did like the other episode. I was kinda like you just get into here. But if I've heard Colors, the first one from like 2007 or 2009, is it?
Seven.
Okay. The first way that I was introduced to this band was through a former coworker at a other job that I had back. When I was working at like Wingstop. I worked there for whatever 4+ years. There was one guy that like loved this band, and I heard like a lot of their songs. So I could have heard some from like Colors. I'm pretty sure that I did. And I remember telling them, "Hey, this band sounds pretty decent. You know, I like some elements to them." And you know, without spoiling too much. That's kind of still how I feel about the band, almost.
This is a legit, like, I'm a huge Between the Buried and Me fan, but I'm also a really big fan of prog metal, you know, like, I will honestly say that Between the Buried and Me is not for everybody. It's not for everybody to enjoy or anything like that, unless you're a big fan of multiple music genres. That's the way I can honestly say about the band. Like if you're just a metalhead, it's probably not going to be your cup of tea. If you're just straight up punk music, it's not going to be your cup of tea. This music progresses. It's prog metal. It expands, and through the history of Between the Buried and Me, their first two albums, and a lot of people say that during Alaska, that's when you saw more of their prog sound coming to life, and then Colors is the one that solidified them. It was shown from the beginning. Like, they weren't just a hardcore band. They weren't just like a death metal wannabe band. It was shown. They showed that they wanted to be all over the place. And me, as an animated person and a person that loves animation, both like drawn and listen and everything, not to give it away, it works for me. So
yeah, because like like, to me, I'm not much of a prog listener. There's technically two bands that I do like that are prog metal. One band I don't really count as prog, even though they're always labeled as like progressive metal. It's Queensryche, but they're not really that progressive. I mean, they do have like some like time signature issue, you know, things like that. Winter Sea is another band that I love. They're like straight up prog, but they're also leaning towards more like, you know, deathcore and that. I'm not a big prog guy, but like I respect prog bands a lot. I always like, you know, give them a lot of respect on like the musicianship, which I'll say during like this album, or like talking about this album, I'll probably say the same thing over and over again.
That's actually one of the weird things I feel about this album, like to talk like track for track, and you'll hear the same thing over and over again. It's kind of like one of the weird things about it. But let's start off with, this is a Sumerian label release. It is a whopping 78 minutes and 40 seconds. So technically for the Leo's Corner, that's the longest record we are talking about.
So far, yep.
That is a first. It is technically on the genres of progressive metal and technical death metal. Now, Joey, let me ask you this.
Okay.
Do you know what technical death metal is?
I mean, that's basically, like, I was going to say that this is, like, almost mathcore, but the technical death metal works with this. Like, basically, like, any type of, like, death metal sound, like, you're using... Basically, you're really being technical with your notes. You're not just doing that, you know, 0010001. You're going all over the place, and that's what this band does. So I could see like technical death metal to this.
Yeah, because I was really like, what the fuck is technical death metal? To be honest,
it's basically death metal just. Not as basic as death metal is, because death metal can be pretty basic.
Can you name a couple bands that kind of sound like it?
Like, sound like technical or like...
Yeah, technical death metal. You can say no, it's fine.
No, because like, every band I'm thinking about are like technically mathcore. Like, I wrestled a bear once that technically mathcore, it's not really technical death metal.
This subgenre.
Right.
This technical death metal.
It's basically just like, again, really talented people doing death metal.
Yeah. Demanding instrumental skills and comparing blah, blah, blah. So, Wikipedia said, but it also had a big four on it. Believe it or not.
What's that?
They had a big four on it, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And that shit sounds like the Bible's about to hit, by the way. It's death, pestilence, atheist. And Cynic.
I've heard of like two of those bands.
I heard of three of those bands. Not the Cynic one. I haven't heard Cynic. Or Cynic or whatever. It was Cat, like C Cat. Y N I C Cat again. No. Not heard those. I can't believe there is a big four for that.
This is a big four for like everything. Like I remember, like, at one time, there was a group of people. I know, just like kind of a sidetrack thing. They were trying to get like the big
tour
of like '90s like punk rock bands do like a tour, which would be Green Day, Offspring, Rancid, Bad Religion, and I thought that was a pretty good solid top four for that like time period. But that tour never happened. Pretty sure like, all those bands have toured together anyway, so.
Yeah, at one point or another.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, go back to the very. Which I will say this: they have really like they have a cool name. I've always thought that their name was like really cool.
Not gonna lie. If it wasn't for them, I had a short-lived band. I had a guitar player that tried to play like that technical style. I had a drummer that tried to like play progressive the same way. And that was the band that I had called Through the Eyes of a Massacre. Which, I'm not gonna lie, I wanted to bring back. Maybe not the same bandmates, but I was like talking about like serial killers, like songs about serial killers and all that, like going through the history, but like not progressive, but yeah, kind of progressive, but not making them 15 minutes long. I'll be honest. If that motherfucker goes past 3.5 minutes, I'll be like, nope, 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 nope. That's a big negative.
Issues. Nope.
Because I'm not about to go for a damn long ass time for no fucking song. Or the classic, you know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to go through that for like fucking, oh, but that boy Giles does his shit on this record.
Right, so
speaking of which,
here's my question.
Mm.
Again, like I don't know too much about this band, listeners.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going like look up info, but I never did. So I was curious. Are they one of the bands that have two singers or just like one singer?
One main vocalist that does clean and screams.
Okay.
The guitar player does some backup vocals on it, which is actually pretty cool because on this album, there's some layer vocals. It's actually pretty good.
All right.
Not to say too much on that part, but.
Okay, so like. The first song was called.
Monochrome. It's very hypnotic. Oh my god. Okay. This shit sets everything up. This shit sets the shit up.
I think that the instrumental is like really good. But this is one of my issues, I guess, with this band, with this album. I don't like the singer's clean vocals. I don't like how he sounds with, like, the clean vocals. I like his, like, you know, aggressive vocal, but his clean singing.
It's understandable. It's understandable. Because he does that, like... He does kind of a theatrical vocals, like he tries to go over the top, but
like it reminds me of like Tool a bit.
Yeah, but here's the thing, it's kind of weird. Like even from my point of view, to actually say this and do this, or actually pretty much say it, is like if I try to sing. I can't sing. So I gotta stick to what I can.
Yeah.
Like, I've been told that I can do some very good Danzig vocals. When I try to.
Yeah.
But if tell me to do Bruce Dickinson, there's no way in fucking there's no way like I mean I can't fuck I wish I could do it right now. It's like a woo to oh it just yeah. doesn't you know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
I'm not, it's an octave. It's the octaves. It's depending on what it is. And Between the Bird and Me does actually play like some very high octaves. It's because like they're soloing and their progression, which a lot of progressive bands do have that kind of vocalist. You know what I mean? I mean, do not take my for it, but.
Correct, because like that's because like a progressive band, because like the fact that they're doing so much in the song, need like a vocalist who can do like different octaves also. If you don't,
I mean, honestly, I think he works pretty good for a lot of reasons, because I feel like what he does with the music, it goes with it 100%. And like Monochrome actually is an example of it. Is I'll admit it's not he's not the best vocalist. He's not like the greatest thing ever when it comes to vocals, but he is following the music to a legit like status. And then when it hits heavy, then you got, you know, it coming in, which leads into the double helix of extinction.
Yeah, which I think, oh no, that's like probably like my second favorite track off this album.
I already know what your favorite track is. Just Fix the Error. I already know that's the I know that's your favorite track, regardless.
No.
No, really? Oh my god.
My third track. I'll say it later, but after listening to this album like about three times.
So. Oh man, I've listened to this album about like 40 times already since this recording.
Yeah.
You want to go first or I go first? You go first.
I was saying like it's a good song, but at times I think this is another one of my issues with this band. Again, like I'm not dissing the band at all, really, because they're really talented, but I think even when they get to like they're like really corey stuff, like, you know, they're like their deathcore sound and stuff. I think at times it sounds generic. But yeah, it's a decent song. I think Leo has more to say about this one.
Dude, they came in hitting strong. That's the thing, like they came in strong with like I felt like I shouldn't say it, but I feel like I should not say it.
Wait.
I shouldn't say it. I will say it on lyrics, but I will not say it live or on a podcast. Cause I've said these words on lyrics before. And I almost got tombstone for it. But they actually came in like really strong with like a brutality of Alaska. Silent Circus type of music. That style. Like kind of that, you know, like even at points where like it's the music is very like you can't even hear it so much. Like people say it's noise, but even at that point, it's actually produced very, very well. Like the instruments all over the place. And by the way, it's all done by Jamie King, which is technically considered the sixth member, or should be considered the sixth member of Between the Buried and Me, because he's worked on every single album but two, which was the Silent Circus and, well, recorded wise, by the way, and their EP, the Parallax Hypersleep Dialogues. He's worked on everything that Between the Buried and Me has had, which, what do you believe on that? Like, the fact is, when you have a producer that's been sticking with you and has done all your music through the whole thing, would you consider him a band member, yes or no? I think, hell yeah, I would consider him a band member.
I think kind of, because, like, again, like, I don't think the average music listener realizes how much a hand the producer has into crafting songs. But the band, like, makes a song, yeah. They, like, write it and all that. But the producer almost says, hey, guys, I like that, but let's add this, or let's take off this, you know.
And you know what's funny and cute? Even, like, towards Metallica, a lot of people hate Bob Rock.
Yeah.
But guess what? He's the one who fucked up the band. I'm just saying it.
I mean, kind of. But I think, like also, like, ultimately, the producers are not as at fault whenever the band puts out a crappy album. Because, again...
Bro, come on.
Okay, it's like... our boys, Calabrese, has their producer they've dealt with since, like, their fourth album.
So, oh, but here's the thing. Between the Bury and Me actually did a cover album. Their very first song on that cover album is Blackened by none other than who?
By Metallica.
Exactly.
One of my favorite Metallica songs.
Have you ever heard Between the Buried and Me's cover of it?
No.
Between the Buried and Me did a cover album of the bands that they take, you know, music influences from. Some of the covers I did not enjoy. I will admit it. I did not enjoy a lot of those covers, but I did enjoy a lot of those covers. And I gave praises to trying, but not hitting the mark. And you know what one of those covers was? Where you tried, but did not hit the mark?
Blackened?
No. It's a very hard song to actually do. And I don't hear many bands cover it.
I mean, there's a lot of songs I could choose, so I don't know.
Pantera's Cemetery Gates.
Oh, yeah.
And the same album, if I remember correctly, because this is, like, I remember the main songs I love off that album. Okay, Blackened is very strong. And then I heard a lot of bands play it live, try to do, like, the death metal thing to it. I'm like, okay, that's... I already heard that part. I already heard this song already, like, done by Between the Buried and Me. So I felt like they were doing the Between the Buried and Me cover. I'm like, I get it, but no. And then the next song right after it, it's Kickstart My Heart by Motley Crue.
Oh, nice.
And Giles does, like, the vocals. Kickstart my heart. I was like, So think about that, and then, but the song before it was like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you go from that to that.
Yeah, like I mean, his range is pretty good, but again, that's what I said, like just his clean like vocal style, I just don't really care for it.
He
I
goes for
don't like it.
the theatrics. That's the thing. And he tries to go for that Freddie Mercury style, which you don't have Freddie Mercury's voice, because he tries to like that.
Because I like my favorite parts with this band are when they're doing like their deathcore or like metalcore type sound. That's when I like it the best. But then once they start doing like the weird circus music in between it's
That's
like
the best part.
it's like okay,
You
I
know
get it.
me, out of anybody, that's like the best part. I like shit out of left field. I love animation. Their music is animated. It's so fucking great.
Like I like again, like I said, I respect progressive bands a lot. Like I give them like respect all the way, whatever. But sometimes I honestly feel that they throw things in a song just to kind of change it up where it doesn't really fit. But they're trying just to add it in there. You know what I mean? Like it.
Joey, the moment you told me the fact that I chose Geddy Lee as my favorite bass player over Matt Freeman, I knew you did not like progressive music, period.
I hate Rush, so.
But guess what? There's some Rush in this album.
Oh yeah, there he is.
So now I can see Joey going, let me shine that blade. I get it, bro. I get it. Dude, but let's say one thing honestly. Dan Briggs brought some amazing bass work to this album.
Oh yeah, like the bass was like really cool. My only, I guess my only gripe with bass sometimes is it was hidden in the mix sometimes a bit, and then there's two solo bass parts in it where he uses like a wah, which is cool, but both parts kind of sound similar, so like I kind of want that to sound a bit different. That's it. But again, he's a great bass player. That was one of my favorite parts about this album. You know, that's like that. You know, honestly, his bass playing is the best thing about this album, in my opinion. As a bass player, as Leo is too. You know,
Much love, much love.
so I have
Dude,
to.
but he's also the keyboard player too.
Just like Geddy Lee, oh my God.
Hold up. And as I was, hold up, let me drop that bitch. Do some effects. Oh. Do some effects or some shit on that one. Like I see. Don't fuck around with bass and progressive. Now, we're still on the first song, by the way.
Where the second song?
No, we're on the first song.
Where the second song?
No, hell no. We ain't talking about Revolution but in Limbo yet. We're still on the
Where,
first song.
wherever, like,
Because
oh.
we have not moved on to Revolution in Limbo yet. Best believe we have not.
Wait, that's track three, right?
That's track.
I don't know.
Yes,
Like,
Revolution in Limbo is track three.
oh, that's what I'm saying. Like we're on track two, so that's what I'm saying.
And those. I mean, you asked me about the like, I was bringing up the brutality of between the bear and me, and she came back, you know. I was going back to Silent Circus, and I was talking about Alaska, and I'm just going to leave it move. I'm just going to move along. Revolution, Limbo. It's the second single. What do you think about that?
I'll be honest. This is one song.
9 minutes. You didn't give a shit about.
Yeah, exactly. This might be the worst song on this album. It did not stand out like at all. That's just me. I have nothing to say about the song. You just kind of like.
Not even the Carlos Santana mini solo.
You get that like five times during this album.
Dude, what, you get this shit wrong?
I mean, I mean
there's even a song on this album that sounds like a Dropkick Murphy song. Like there's even a actual Rush song in this album. There's an actual, like, there's so much on this album, like, are you paying attention?
Like I said,
that's your opinion.
Like opinion
as it is, as it was. Unlike you, I'm not gonna hate on it.
I just didn't think much about the song.
Dude, man.
Again, like, I know that, like, this is like your, like, your top three albums of like this year, or like solo, but you got different views on this record.
Well, I mean, in all opinion, in all honesty, it's like it will sound like an insult, do I say. You do not I'm trying to find out a nice way to say it. Like, you're not, you just don't like music, like, to an extent. Like, you're very close-minded to the music.
No. Yeah, like, I respect what they're doing. I think they're all like great players, but I don't know. As I mentioned earlier, I sometimes think with Prog, it seems sometimes you just throw in random things just to be random. And again, like, I don't know. It's just the fact that I just like two progressive metal bands. Not that high.
Joey, from when I've known you, you only like songs that don't last no more than like 4 minutes. Three 340 something. If it's longer than 340 something, you hate it.
I mean, there's Cradle of Filth songs that like go on for like
5-6 minutes.
But yeah, because like it's the next track that I was just done with. Track four, it was like two songs into one, and it's 11 minutes long. Like,
okay, hold on. You know, I'm fucking with you, by the way, too.
But I'm just saying, that fourth song, I had to stop listening to it. I was like, okay, this is overkill.
You don't like Fix the Error?
Isn't that the fifth song?
No, dude, that's the fourth song.
Okay. Like, that was decent. Again, like, I love, like, the bass to that song. That has a pretty decent hook. That one's, like, the top.
Oh, and by the way, Revolution and Limbo. You cannot sing along to that chorus?
again, like, that's a song that I just don't remember. I don't know why. Just like that song just nothing about it like stood out to me.
You know what I feel like? I feel like you should probably listen to this album like one song a day.
I mean, like, I listen to it throughout the week, so, but
no, but your attention span is not that great.
But
dude, did you just agree with me for that? No, don't agree with me. Why would you agree with me on that? Do not agree with me on that one. Joey, please, for love of God, do not agree with me on that one.
I mean, like, if you show me a band that I never heard before, I will give them maybe 30 seconds to, like, impress me. If they're not impressed, I skip on.
Que la chingada. Ah, Joey, please, come on, man. Dude, the chorus on that song was epic. It's the second single. That's why I was telling you, check out the three singles on the album.
Well, I did, like, listen to it, but again, like, that song, I don't know.
Over and over, day in, day out. Nothing? You don't remember?
I remember it, but...
Joey, did you take another shit?
What's that?
Did we have to edit for your shit taken?
Yeah.
All right, that's how it works. All right, we're at Fix the Error.
Again, like, I would say top three tracks on this album. I love the bass work on this one. It's a single. You said, like, this was the first single?
Yeah. Dude, that funny-ass video, it was epic. The little... Trying to break me down, tried over. That was like one of the greatest videos of all time.
I think this is like, is this the second shortest song on this album?
No. There's like two or three other ones.
Well, like, there's that one, like, song that's kind of an instrumental short.
Yeah, right before the most epic song on the entire album. Even though it's the longest song on the entire album, which is the last track on this album, but it's still... I'm not going to say it right now, but...
I'll say it. That's my favorite track on this album.
The last one?
Yeah.
All right, before we get to that point, we still got to talk to the other ones, and I want to know why the fuck that one is your favorite one. Because, finally, yeah. Give you some sweet chin music. I was about to give you Stone Cold Stunner. I was about to let you hit a sweet chin music, get you a stunner. You'll pop right back up. I'm going to give you that Stone Cold Rock thing moment where I was like, and hit you with a stunner again. All right, Fix the Error. Let's just finish up this, whatever we have to go through this. Because I got enough pages to, that I'm not even going to use no more.
Yeah, Leo, like, wrote a lot of notes for this album.
Yeah. Guess what? And I got not to say many of them. You know why? What's the point?
I mean, like, generally with these album reviews, like, we was going to, we like to kind of keep it under an hour, but this one and the AFI one or are they going to go a bit long, you know? So. Oh, you didn't say anything about this track, Fix the Error.
I mean, could you have picked a better track for this album?
For an opening single? Yeah, that's probably the best, probably the best one to sell to people, you know.
It's what the album's all about, pretty much. That's actually pretty much what it was. It was a legit album, like a legit like single. It was crazy. It was spontaneous. There's some parts where I'm not okay with, but they work so well.
Not okay with, I see.
And the three bass solos, drum solos, actually, the three drum solos. One done by my partner, ex member of Dream Theater, Novain Corvis.
Oh, Mike Portnoy.
Huh?
Portnoy is like how you say his name.
Portnoy. His last name. Yeah, he did the first drum solo on that song. The second one was done by Novain Corvis by Antheos, and Ken Schalk did from. I can't even pronounce this name. Candiria? If you guys can go check out those bands, you know what? Go for it. Like, you got drummers like that, go for it. I'll support that drum. I'll support those drummers. Hell, they went after fucking. Man, it's almost like if you had, like, fucking. If someone told you, hey, yo, you got Marky Ramone, play after that. You'd be like, hell no. You got Robo after you. I ain't playing after that, too.
I mean, Robo is not a good drummer, but.
Yeah, he's still better than we are, aren't we? Aren't he? Isn't he?
Early, but yeah.
Are you a drummer? Am I a drummer?
Just saying that. Robo is like Robo is the Ringo Starr of the punk rock world. You know, keeps the beat. That's it. He's not flashy. Doesn't do anything. He's Robo. As we were.
Never seen a Future Shock. This one's the second longest song on this record.
Yeah, this is the song that I was like, I'm done. Why is it two songs in one? Why not just put the songs up?
Why not Green Day?
Well,
Jesus, Suburbia. What was the other song? They had like five songs in one.
Yeah, but I mean, that's kind of different. It wasn't this long. Those songs were 9 minutes. This is 11 minutes.
But, one extra part. Oh my god, I'm dying. Oh my god, it's so bad. Oh my god, really, bro? Really?
But
really, really? Hold on, really?
Yep,
only because Green Day did it, it's fine, but if Between the Buried and Me does it, it's not fine, or any progressive band does it, it's.
Like,
okay,
it's like, because, like, again, so the songs like Jesus of Suburbia, that's the song title. It has like little like divisions down it, but it's not like Jesus Suburbia / City of the Damned or like whichever
pretty title. Much they just made it simple.
I'm just saying, like, why do you have the two songs connected? Just separate. Yeah, so like, yeah, this is like my least favorite song on this album. And this was like, this was the song, like, every time I like listen to it, I'm always like, okay, yeah. Not a fan of like that song.
It was aggressive. It was. They utilized it. They utilized it. It was utilized. The aggressiveness was utilized. It's like there's no way to explain this album. That's the thing. Joey's just going to give the negative about it. I wish I can give some more of a positive advice. Man, I should have just had my 14 pages worth of fucking shit. What about this Stare Into the Abyss?
That's one that has a pretty cool like keyboard part, right? Yeah.
That's the one I'm pretty sure you liked it because it was shorter than 3 minutes.
But
now I sound like a dick.
Yeah, like I would say like top four songs off the record. Yeah, it's a nice little song.
Back dude, to this, like, it's pretty much how you feel when you had enough tequilas and everything, you're going to sleep,
yeah,
and you feel like yeah, everything's good, and then. That moment where, like, your head starts spinning, you're like, what the fuck? And that music goes pretty much like, dun, 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 like kind of the same way, but not really. But that, dun, 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 dun. It's almost like your wife waking you up, like, the fuck? Hey, I think that works. That's a good review to this.
That is, yeah. Solid review. Yeah.
Eh. Honestly, that was a good track in the middle.
Okay, yeah. Oh, it's like one thing that we didn't like mention, unless I'm mistaken, but I think all these tracks kinda like connect. So like it sounds like one musical piece from like start to finish. There's no like actual break between songs. Unless I'm wrong, but I think all of them have like lingering notes or like lingering music parts that
kind of like Colors One, kind of like the original Colors, kind of just like the original Colors, which it was done on purpose, and I was gonna say at the end. But you know what? Since we're talking about it right now, I can actually bring up that right now. It was the fact that. All right. So Tommy Giles Rogers Jr. was, you know, he's a vocalist. He quoted, he was quote saying, especially with 2020, we really wanted to give it all. To show we're still here. The part of the reason we named the Colors too is we were in a similar spot when we did Colors. Back then we had just gone off Ozfest. Oh, remember back in the day Ozfest. Ozfest was usually when you bought. Did you ever buy any Ozfest records?
No.
No.
I know, like, Ozfest was like always like whenever they like announced the tour, I was always interested, like, who was in it, and because like I mean, Sharon Osbourne was like the main mastermind behind like booking bands, and they were like really good at up and coming artists. So.
Yeah. So we were wondering where we belong in the music scene. We still struggle with that at both of these moments in our career. We decided to just be ourselves and write the best album we can. We came out guns blazing, and I feel like it's the most creative material in a long time. That's the thing, it actually shows on this record.
You know, like, I, you know, how much of a fan prior to...
I've been a fan since Silent Circus. I enjoyed everything they put out, but, like, there was somewhere in the middle. Like, when Parallax came out, I was like, this is so good. And then, like, kind of in between, I was like, oh...
Like, okay, like
even their like childish like sound effects was like, oh no, okay, now what are you doing?
That's one thing, like, I wanted to ask you, because like a lot of bands, you know, they always put out, whenever their brand new album comes out, they're like, this is the best stuff that we've ever done. It's our best stuff since like our first album, blah, 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 whatever. And they seem to kind of downplay the previous record. They're like, okay, that album was like pretty trash, but you know what? We got something really good now. You ever feel like, you know what? Your last album was like actually pretty good. I don't know.
No, what I'll honestly say about this album, I feel like the trash talk they did to themselves was actually worth it and legit. It's they released, if we go back, like the original, the very first, you know, Between the Bird and Me, they were trying to hit that hardcore style,
yeah,
death metal style, like. It's progressive, but it's not progressive at the same time.
Yeah.
When it is Silent Circus, you start noticing more melodies, more heavier stuff. Like, but at the same time, it's almost them trying to find themselves. When he had Alaska, it was like, okay. It's almost like you're telling, like, it almost felt like, okay, you're finding yourself, like, all right, you're getting there.
Yeah.
And honestly, as like, if you listen to it from the beginning, it's, you notice it, like, okay, yeah, it's a little better. When Colors One hit, and you know, they're saying we were in that state of mind, like we didn't, like we were literally just trying to find ourselves and all that. I was like, because they already had mentioned this before back then. They're like, in other words, they were like, you know what, this is it. Either we're here, we're not, we're what are we gonna do? And they pulled off one of the best progressive metal albums. It's almost like saying, like, you know what, fuck what the producer wants to say, fuck what the, you know, what our label wants to say. And even there, they were at the time in Victory, they're like, you know what, we're just gonna play our, in other words, they're gonna play like their One Night in the Opera, like from Queen. we're gonna play our, I don't know what the hell do you call it, is our homage or own, our own, you know,
like their album, like just like playthrough, like live,
like our final stand. This is our final stand. This is what we've done in the last three albums. So here's where we stand. That's what they did. They when they did Colors One, and then of course they left Victory. They progressed more. They did all the music and everything, and now they're at where they're at, and the sound is crisp, clean now compared to what it used to be. They can mess around with more music. It seems honestly like they enjoyed what the hell they were doing.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, what they did on this album is pretty much a brief history of what they went from Colors 1 to Colors 2. It's an entire progression. And honestly, that's what I feel like progression, like progressive metal, punk, or progressive, whatever.
Yeah.
They actually progressed. Because you listen to the first album, sounds like a deathcore album at some point, like some hardcore deathcore album.
Right.
You listen to Silent Circus, and then their songs that just sound like, well, you don't understand what the fuck is going on. I even say that myself. You hear Alaska, you start hearing more melody, more sharpness. But the thing is, you heard it on Silent Circus too. They were showing it right off there. And then you get to that point, and then when you hear Colors, it's when they started, when you have the band you have now.
Yeah.
Because all the members that are right here right now are the members that were there for Alaska. And they've literally, like, as a band progressed their sound, it comes down to progression, like prog. Like, they've mastered their abilities, and they've mastered their techniques together as a band.
Mm-hmm.
This album, like, honestly, if I felt like if they would have done this album in 2005, it would have sounded more muffled and distorted than what it is now.
Yeah, probably so.
And probably something people would not have liked. And that's why I say, Jesse, their sixth member, their producer.
Yeah, like, again, like, producers do a lot to help, you know, albums.
He progressed with them.
Yeah.
I'm glad that he went from the victory day. He went from the non-victory days to the victory days to the, what was it, when they were on Metal Blade to Smurrian now. Like, they used the same producer. Not many bands can actually have actually the privilege or honestly say they've actually had a producer to do that.
Yeah.
It's almost like saying, you know, like, I'm not going to work unless I have Old Boy with me.
Yeah.
Not many people can say that. Not many musicians can say that. Between the Bury Me can. And the only two times they never used them was one, when the first time they got into Victory. Of course, they needed to jump on the record label. And the second time was just an EP.
Yeah.
Other than that, Old Boy's been on everything.
Yeah.
Progressed with the band.
Yeah.
And pretty much the sixth member of the band, Boy Jimmy King. Can't fuck with that kind of knowledge, or can't fuck with that guy.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Once someone like finds like a producer, they kind of stick with them. Make this sound better.
Yeah, so we had the Never Seen Future Shock. Second longest song. Honestly, it utilizes a lot of styles, which is really good. Mm-hmm. There's a part that reminds me of floating into an ocean, like a pirate.
I guess I could see that, yeah.
I fucking love that. Like, once that little pirate part sang, I was like, man, where the fuck is the rum? Let's go. You know? And it's always with the aggression and the smooth vocals. Like, you might not like the vocals, but guess what? A lot of metalheads don't like Jerry Only, don't like Danzig, or don't like Graves on the vocals either. So there's my shot on that.
Like, there's a lot of bands that like the vocals kind of hurt a band, or they sometimes help a band. There is a lot of bands I like the music too, but when the singers start singing, I'm like,
Now when we have Staring to the Abyss.
We did that one already.
No, we haven't, fool.
Yeah, we did.
We were at that point.
We talked about it.
I just went back to the Never Seen feature show.
You did.
I had to. I had to drop some knowledge on that song, too.
Staring to the Abyss. We already talked about it, but yeah, listen to it 30 minutes ago. You'll hear my take on it.
It set it up. It's good in the middle. Prehistoric. What do you think?
Decent.
That's bro. The one. Just be honest. You don't like Dropkick Murphys. It was a fucking Irish song. Like for like one fourth of it.
Yeah. I mean, again, it was a decent tune, but
hey, I'm gonna put it on my St. Patrick's Day list, I'll be honest.
No.
All right, what about Bad Habits?
Trying to remember what that one sounded like. I think that was pretty decent. I'm trying to remember what it sounded like exactly. I remember like the song title, but I remember thinking that was decent. You probably have more to say about that one, Leo.
The Danny Elfman song?
Okay. Now I'm like hearing it now. Okay.
See how it just, it sounds so easy just to say two or three words and yeah. It pops up in your head. It even has that, and that one part. Hey, man, it is what it is. It's pro. Like, how the hell can you go hardcore and then have like some fucking, some Edward Scissorhands shit going on. All right. What about The Future's Behind Us?
Because, like, so, like, this, like, the part in the album where some of these songs, like, yeah, especially, like, after, like, these handful of, like, songs, these four songs, Prehistory, the next one, and this one, habits. And they all kind of, like, if you don't look at, like, the song title, you don't realize it's a different song, you know? It just kind of flows together really well.
And the whole album flowed together.
but yeah, this one's decent. I have no like complaint issues really.
But I thought you hated Rush.
I do. But like that's why
this is
like,
the song that sounds the most like Rush.
I said I didn't love the song, but you know, it's okay.
But you hate Rush.
Okay.
Hold on. Let me hear this. Hold on. Go for it. Go for it. Go for it. Go for it.
So I don't exactly hate Rush, but I like saying that.
That's all I need to hear. Hallelujah.
I don't like Rush.
Jesus
though.
Christ and peanut butter. Yeah. That's all I need to hear.
I don't
the
like
boy, Rush. He doesn't like Rush. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. But the thing is, the hate he gave me the first time I said I like Rush or I picked the bassist, man, he gave me some. Go back to the birthday bash episode. Leo's birthday bash episode. It's the episode with the wrestling. Bash at the beach. Mm-hmm. Go back to that episode. That boy gave me some. Hurt my feelings. Hurt me right here. Right here. Right here in the heart. You know?
That's just key.
He hurt me right here. Because I want it all. Or nothing at all. Right here. He hurt me right here. In el corazón. So now I can honestly say this. Joey, look that way. Yeah. Now look back. Look that way again. Look back. Fuck your couch, motherfucker. Fuck your couch. Talk about rushing. You remember what you said on that episode?
I don't like
I'm still here. I'm still here, motherfucker. Talking about kicking me out the damn podcast. And that even that cat was like, yeah.
Yeah, too loud.
Yeah. So now we're going back to the future is behind us.
What are you talking about that track already?
Oh, that's the one we're talking about. Oh, that's the one we're talking about right now. Oh, man, that's a pretty damn strong song. You didn't even watch the video. God damn it. And even that song had like a New Order moment.
Drums. Yeah. I guess
that's it, yeah. You're in a situation out here.
Yeah, again, like this another like decent song in my opinion.
I'm surprised you actually like the last track. That's what I'm surprised about. You don't like anything else, but you like the last track. That's surprising. Turbulent. Turbulent. Oh. I'm gonna go first this time because you ruined a lot of things on this album. I like the overlapping on the vocals. That was pretty strong. Progression, brutal. Pretty good track. Leading to a nice little instrumental, yeah. Which they also did on the first Colors.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I probably for this, I should have never let you talk from the beginning. For the most part. Oh man, I can't wait for the Cradle of Filth album. It better be damn good, or I'm gonna fuck that shit up.
I'm
gonna stick my dick in that fucking shit and just be like.
Like, I mean, there are some la, 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 la. In this album. I don't hate this album, but.
Yeah, oh, I'm going to stick my dick in the Cradle of Filth album, though. Because all you did was bullshit on my, or shit on mine. So, believe me. Unless that Cradle of Filth album is amazing. Oh, hell nah, bro. I'm about to shit all over that shit. And I'm just going to say it. It's being recorded right now. I'm going to shit on that shit.
Well, like, Turbulent is, I didn't like it, really. I didn't care for it.
It was just leading up to what it was.
Yeah.
These, I can't even say it, Sumato?
Something like that. There's like two S's.
No, it's an F. S-F-U-M Atoll. It's an instrumental. Yeah. Chill song. Which, honestly, on Colors 1, it was actually longer. But it felt like it was leading you straight into the apocalypse.
Like, I didn't realize this was a song until, like, today. Like, my first time listening to this album, I didn't realize that was a separate song until... Like I said, like today, it was like I was looking at the song, and I was like, "Oh, that's a different song." Let's see.
Yep. Just like the original White Walls. Oh man.
But yeah. That's
a damn good song.
Best to go. Well, what song you said?
I didn't even write down the last song. I wrote down how much I loved it, but I didn't write down the end of the last song.
Human as Hell? Yeah, Human as Hell is the last song. It's my favorite. Now, when I say this, I mean I'm talking about the first 8 minutes. After that, that's when I don't care about the song. But the first 8 minutes are really, really strong. The second half is whatever.
You know what's crazy? I feel like you can do a video game to all their music.
I can see that.
Just saying. You know, like, if you were actually playing a video game and that soundtrack was playing in the background, be like, oh shit, cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I was about to destroy the world, I'm pretty sure I would use them as a soundtrack too.
Your thoughts on this track, Leo?
Hmm?
Your thoughts on this track?
Unpopular opinion, I think it's better than White Walls. That's all I have to say. If you heard White Walls, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay.
It goes with the same progression, a little longer. But fuck is this song strong. It leads you to a prog masterpiece. It's a prog masterpiece.
Alrighty.
Fool.
What?
I gotta ask you.
Okay.
Joey.
Yeah.
What is your favorite Judas Priest album?
Oh, Painkiller.
Painkiller?
Yeah.
Really? Alright. What's your favorite Iron Maiden record?
Record,
album, same thing.
What's that?
Album, same thing.
So I might go with the seventh son of a what's that? The seventh son of a seventh.
Seventh son of the seventh son. That's my favorite record too. Don't fucking disrespect it, bro.
Yeah, like that album is like nonstop with like. Good tracks on it. I think some of the more like really classic Iron Maiden records, there is some songs that aren't that good.
Oh wait, you like the most progressive album of Iron Maiden's discography? Yet you don't like progressive. It is their most progressive, and it's the first progressive record.
I guess you could say that. But again, like, I do like some like things about prog, but I'm just not that into it. I do like some progness.
So when I bring up, I see. Now, let me ask you another question.
Yes.
What's your favorite Victory Records album?
Was Aiden's Knives on Victory?
Of course.
Okay, then that one.
All right. Your rating to this album.
So yeah, I will definitely go first with like the rating because I know Leo's gonna have a higher rating than me. So as we like to do with this show,
this is my podcast here. You chill.
I'm gonna say like with the show, we generally like to do the person that gets the lower rating first. I give it a solid 6. Like there's like some decent moments on this album. If like someone's playing this album, I'm not going to complain. I'm enjoying it, but like I said, I don't like the clean singing, the vocals, and yes, sometimes I feel, you know, like the circus music is whatever, a bit too much. The songs are way too long, but they're cool. S6. What about you, Mr. Leo?
Man. I actually was going to tell you to a 5 out of whatever.
Oh. And that's 2 out of 5 then, I guess.
2 out of 5. Jesus, that hurts.
I mean, that's a 10, like, I think so.
Oh, by the way, you have to have a recommendation.
Okay.
We're doing recommendations on Leo's Corner now. Think really hard. Think really solid. And I'm going to give it a 5 out of 5. And it is matching. I'll tell you right now. It is matching the Misfits for Album of the Year. Legit status. See, the Misfits, they're new to the table.
Yeah.
Between the Bear and Me, they've been bringing a style that I've actually liked for a long time. That's the scary part. Like, on their end, you know what I mean? I like chaotic music. I like very all over the place music at some points. But this album feels, honestly, it feels way better than the Dream Theater album. It feels way better than the Rush album. It feels like I'm probably going to get slapped upside the head for saying that. Like, it just feels what I like.
Yeah.
And of course, it's always a personal opinion.
Oh, yeah.
So today I gave Joey some shit. But it's a personal opinion. He shouldn't go with whatever. No one should. You like what you like. You don't like what you like.
Yeah.
And that's why I respected Joey all the time. He's always a guy that just gives a straight up opinion. And that's why I felt like this album was one that we should do. So, hey, Joey, thank you, fucker.